Pray with me, please. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. When your dreams don't come true, God still has dreams for you. Even if it seems like we've been forgotten, God remembers us when our hearts are broken, when we pray, and after the prayers are answered. Hope lives in faithfulness. Several years ago, Jimmy Cagney had become very famous, obviously, portraying his gangster movies in the Hollywood films. He and his wife were getting into a car in New York City, and he saw a man standing on the curb across the street. "Do you know that fellow over there?" Cagney says to his wife, to which she responds, "No." "His name is Nathan Skidelsky. I sat next to him in school." "Prove it," she says. "Go talk to him. Go say hello." Well, Cagney took the challenge. He went across the street, had a brief conversation with the gentleman, then came back to the car. To be sure enough, it was Nathan. Cagney had remembered correctly. The only problem was Nathan didn't have a clue who Jimmy was. Not even from the movies, never mind a buddy growing up in school. All right, so we move into our story of Hannah. I love her story. A faithful woman of God. She shows us several circumstances where it is important to know God does remember, and to truly, we need to be reminded ourselves that God has never forgotten, but is working out our good for his greater plan. You know, that plan that we don't usually see because we have this vantage point from Earth, and it isn't very wide, but we have our own ideas. Even in a believer's life, when God seems to withhold from us the one thing, we have a desire that seems appropriate to us, normal in our sense of timing in life. Well, for Hannah, she had only one desire, and that was to be a mother. We learn in the first two verses about Hannah's story. They tell us of a certain man from the hill country of Ephraim who had two wives, Elkanah. His two wives, one called Hannah, her name means gracious, full of grace and mercy. The other is Peninnah. Her name means pearl or precious stone. Peninnah had children. Hannah did not. That is a simple enough statement. But to those of us who have shared Hannah's experience, know that it speaks volumes. It can be hard enough to rejoice when a friend or a sister or a neighbor has children, when that blessing has been withheld from you. But imagine what it would be like to have a rival wife to deal with. You see, in Hannah's day, it was legal for a man to have more than one wife. In fact, an inability to conceive was one of those major reasons husbands took second wives. You have to wonder if Hannah ever looked at Peninnah and thought to herself, "Oh, if I had only been able to bear children, this woman would not be in my life." Then there were those family vacations, year after year, everybody piling into the cart once a year and taking that trip to Shiloh for the sacrificial meal. They did this every year, and every time it was the same challenge. Hannah had to sit and watch as her husband served Peninnah and all of her children. It never says how many children she had, but she had several. But when he came to Hannah, he gave her a double portion. I read this story and I take away, my takeaway is Elkanah loves Hannah. And he wanted to show her how much he loved her. Matthew Henry says, Elkanah studied in order to show his love to Hannah so much more because he saw her affliction. But what did he study? What the men said? Because no one understood her pain. So there is a lesson there to support the weakest and to hold up those who are run down and worn down. Remember, this went on year after year. All this gave Peninnah all she needed to poke at Hannah. With a smirking grin and making cutting remarks to Hannah, all this done while Elkanah was not looking. I am sure that if he knew what was going on, truly understood what was going on, he might have been more vocal with the abuser. But we do not see that here. Verse 7 says, year after year, whenever Hannah went to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. And then, according to verse 8, Elkanah would say, Hannah, why are you weeping? I just don't understand. Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? He clearly didn't see all that was going on between Peninnah and Hannah. Now, if I were ever a motivational speaker, what do you think about this advice? Disappointment is just a different clothing for an opportunity. And the failure is the back door to success. I'm not so sure I'd want to hear those words. If I were her father, I might tell her, look on the bright side. Think of all the things you have instead of those you don't. If I were a friend, I suppose I might tell you just to not lose hope, to keep trying, might even buy you a book on infertility, none of which will be much help to anyone being hackled every opportunity taken. But God, he would know all these slogans, these formulas, these pat answers, that they don't really help. That's because God knows what it feels like to have a broken heart. Believe it or not, God even knows the special pain of childlessness. This is a great mystery and very hard to understand. But the Bible tells us that while Jesus was on the cross, bearing the sins of this world, the Father poured out on him the wrath for the sin that you and I deserved. For a terrible moment that carried with it the weight of eternity, the Father turned away and knew what it was like to lose his only son. He was willing to do that so he would not lose any one of us. God hasn't forgotten you when your heart is broken. He knows what it feels like to lose what you cherish most. Yet, we are still waiting for our dream to come true. What are we supposed to do now? God does remember us while we are praying. There are a lot of ways we could respond to the insults. We could complain. Misery does love company. Bitterness could overwhelm us. That's really not very healthy for us. Or we could take another opposite route. Hannah shows us the better way. She prayed about it. It is how Hannah prayed this one time that I want you to take notice of. I would almost believe that every time she went to Shiloh, she cried out to the Lord to stop what was going on, but this one time. When they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed before the Lord. There's been a change here. She made a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget me, but give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to you, O Lord, all the days of his life. Not a razor will touch his head. Little did Hannah know. Hannah didn't hold anything back. She wept. She poured out all of her disappointments to God. I want you to notice what Hannah did not do. She didn't tattle on Peninnah for her cruel comments. She didn't complain about Elkanah's lack of understanding. Hannah didn't look for any payback. Taking the higher road, even in her pain, Hannah could have, from this worldly standpoint, justified any retaliation. I believe Hannah knew this was not acceptable. Even so, that would open Hannah to even more of Peninnah's behavior and even more hurt. Nor did Hannah complain to the priest. Verses 12 through 14, she justifies her, justification is coming for her. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli was observing her. As for Hannah, she was speaking from her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So, of course, what does Eli think first thing? She's drunk. How long will you make yourself drunk? Well, how is that for compassion? This is from John Kosler. She is so brokenhearted that she can barely get the words out. And he says, go home and get sober. Okay. I'm hearing comments, but nobody's saying a word. Remember that these trips to Shiloh caused Hannah much angst. So we are pretty sure that from the word that Hannah wasn't drunk. We heard that in earlier verses. She pleads. In her reply to him, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Now we can go right back to John's earlier quote on his compassion and her brokenheartedness and see that not one of the people who should have comforted Hannah gave any sympathy. No one understood her pain. And each individual said something that must have hurt her deeply. only out of their own misunderstanding. It wasn't even intentional. Now we can go right now. There is another lesson here. Often, the people we expect to understand in a time of great disappointment don't understand. Often, the people we expect to sympathize with us just turn away for lack of knowing what to do. And most of them don't have a clue that what they've said has even hurt us. Now, we expect our enemies to abandon us, not our friends. Have you been misunderstood in some way, shape, or form in your desperate places? So we know that God knows, because Hannah's story is here for us. Have you gone to a friend or a spouse only to find that they are too consumed with their own affairs to sympathize with you? Or maybe just consumed with what they thought about your situation and didn't have all the details? Did you become bitter in those results, discovering someone really didn't care when you thought that they would? Hannah, it seems, is above all of this. Bless her heart, what she's been through. Verses 17 through 19 describe the change that came over her following her prayer. Eli answered, telling her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And she said, "May your maidservant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away, and she ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. I think in our godly conversation, that faith, her little mustard seed of faith to just have one child, was getting boosted, and her faith was building her hope. What a change. It says that the cycle of disappointment had gone on for years. What has made the difference here? Hannah prayed even at her breaking point. In fact, it is interesting to note that the first time we hear Hannah's voice in this story is when she is speaking to the Lord. When everyone seems to have forgotten Hannah, she knew where to turn. Another point, if you are suffering, don't be shy about it. Make some noise first to the Lord. How do you handle the bitterness that comes when your dreams don't come true? Hannah would say that you take your case to the Lord and leave it in his hands. You don't have to put on airs. You don't have to sound pious or even try to sound pious. You don't have to hide your disappointment. God does remember us after our prayers. That is the next circumstance where it is important to know God still remembers us is after the answer has come. We know what that we know that God remembers us even after our prayers are answered. That's because we have the Word to read back on. And all the things, if we watch our lives carefully, there are things God has done for us that we know was his movement and not our own. God answers prayers in his own time and in accordance with his own purposes. Well, that changes everything for most of us. Aren't we in the "I want it now, Lord"? I find myself there maybe a little too often when there's stuff going around in my family. In Hannah's case, the answer was yes in those moments in her prayer. And the next verses will tell us that early the next morning they arose, they worshiped before the Lord, and went back to their home in Ramah. Says nothing about anything going on. Elkanah lay with his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah did conceive and give birth to a son. She named him Samuel because she had asked the Lord for him. How great is that, that our God had a purpose in this. Another lesson. We become so anxious about our own concerns and desires and our own lives that we forget we are a part of the larger plan. Why did Hannah have to wait? It wasn't because God was being mean, although I'm sure it might have felt like that. It wasn't because God had forgotten, although I'm sure there were times when she wondered if that weren't the case. But it was because it was not yet time. And when the time was right, God moved in response to that one prayer. In the same way, when the time is right, God will move in response to our prayers. But it is equally important to know that when the time is right, God will only move in a way that is consistent with his plan. Timing is everything. Had Hannah prayed at any other time, the way she prayed this time, the answer would have been, not yet. Wait. I always fall back to Matthew 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. But we have to be persistent in that. But everyone who does these things, he who asks will find, and he who seeks, and he who knocks, there will be an answer. God never does not open the door. You know, we hear in Revelation from chapter 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. God is standing at our door and knocking. And there is no door handle on the outside. We have to move to open that door. But our God opens his door for us when we persist for an answer from him. And in conclusion, don't worry when your dreams don't come true. God still has dreams for you. And God's dreams are better than any of our dreams. God will never, ever, never, ever forget you. And not any one of us. Hannah's firstborn, Samuel, was to be a huge part of God's plan. Yet when God blesses, it is always more than we could have ever hoped for. Hannah's cry also became her hope. Samuel is given to God to serve. Hannah was blessed with sons and daughters. Peninnah's voice grew silent. Hannah's dream to be a mother was completely fulfilled, her joy and her hope brought to its fullest. Remember, in his own time and in his own way, for your good and his glory, God does remember you. Amen. Join with me.
Let us pray.